We are here to shake the silence until it shatters.
You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I'm Dan Keller, and this show first aired May 29th, 2025. On Sunday, May 25th, several hundred residents attended a demonstration in Waterloo which demanded that the Canadian government implement a full, two-ways arms embargo and sanctions against Israel. Speakers at the demonstration called out the, quote, ongoing genocide against Palestinians, unquote, highlighted Canadian complicity in the violence through ongoing sales of weapons and technology, and linked the violent settler colonialism happening in Palestine to the ongoing dispossession of Indigenous peoples of their lands in Canada. The chant, "From Turtle Island to Palestine, occupation is a crime," was one of several which was repeated as participants marched through Uptown Waterloo. The march went from Waterloo Town Square, stopped at Liberal MP Bartosz Chagar's office, where demands for an arms embargo were repeated, then carried on down Regina Street before circling back down King Street and back to the square, where it dispersed following a closing speech. This demonstration comes on the heels of the Canadian government putting out a joint statement on May 19th with France and the United Kingdom, which says, quote, "We will not stand by while the Netanyahu government pursues these egregious actions. If Israel does not cease the renewed military offensive and lift its restrictions on humanitarian aid, we will take further concrete actions in response," unquote. Israel has been blocking the vast majority of humanitarian aid into Gaza since March 2nd. The statement from Prime Minister Carney and his European allies went on, quote, "We oppose any attempt to expand settlements in the West Bank. Israel must halt settlements which are illegal and undermine the viability of a Palestinian state and the security of both Israelis and Palestinians. We will not hesitate to take further action, including targeted sanctions," unquote. The statement concluded, quote, "We are committed to recognizing a Palestinian state as a contribution to achieving a two-state solution and are prepared to work with others to this end," unquote. In the 10 days since the statement, Israel has killed hundreds more Palestinians, and on May 20th, the Israeli army fired quote-unquote warning shots at foreign diplomats, including four Canadian embassy staff who the army claimed veered from their approved route while visiting Jenin, a city in the West Bank. Additionally, in mid-May, the Israeli government approved the construction of 22 new settlements in the West Bank, complicating any prospective peace process. This show features an interview with Nick Joseph, the media liaison for the demonstration. Joseph spoke about the demands made by demonstrators, the weapons industry in the region, and other actions folks in Canada can take to work towards justice for Palestinians. Joseph was previously the spokesperson for the Gaza House protests at the University of Waterloo in 2024. In the show, there are also clips from the speech given by Amy Smoke of the Willow River Center, and some chants that occurred during the demonstration. CKMS News reached out to the local Liberal and Conservative members of Parliament, including MP Chagar, asking for a response to the demands made by demonstrators, but did not receive a response from any of them. Here is Nick Joseph speaking to CKMS News at the demonstration.
We want justice, you say how, and the siege on Gaza now!
What is today's event about? Why have this demo in Uptown Waterloo today?
Well, we've been protesting again for the last almost 600 days. We're never going to stop or silence our voices for the Palestinian cause. But specifically, recently, we're almost at 600 days of genocide. The Canadian government, along with France and the UK, have released a statement condemning Israel's humanitarian crimes against the Palestinians, including ethnic cleansing. I think they called it forced displacement. This is welcomed. It's definitely a step forward. However, we understand now that it's not enough, and it wasn't enough a year ago even. We need unilateral, swift, and decisive action against Israel. We need a complete two-way arms embargo, and we need to cut all diplomatic and economic ties with Israel because they are committing a genocide in front of our eyes. They're currently being tried at the ICJ. Netanyahu is being tried by the ICC. These are the highest courts that we have in the institution, and it's clear that the institution has been failing us. So, We're here protesting. We're using our voices. We're going to carry our momentum. We will not stop until Palestine is liberated.
Since Canada made a statement saying, you know, we're going to start taking some action, you know, at least another 500 Palestinians have been killed by Israel. Beyond an arms embargo, what else are you asking for the Canadian government to do to get some sort of pressure against the Israeli government?
I think that there's so much that people can do. There's always a step forward for governments. Of course, we don't expect that these politicians who are bought and sold by Israel are ever going to meet our demands. But of course, the only moral, the only logical step forward is a unilateral cut of all diplomatic and economic ties, even going as far as not recognizing the state of Israel. This is an apartheid state founded through colonization and genocide. Cut all diplomatic relations. Our institutions should institute a cultural and academic boycott of Israel. Remove all investments relating to Israeli companies. Institute boycotts of companies like McDonald's and Starbucks and Scotiabank who contribute to the genocide. There are so many things that the country can do. For now, we're really pushing an arms embargo because Canada, especially Kitchener-Waterloo, is producing the weapons and the surveillance technology currently being used against Palestinians. They're advertised as battle-tested because they test them on Palestinians in the battlefield. And we don't only see the bombing of civilians, but also infrastructure, also aid workers and hospitals. And Gaza is currently undergoing a famine. And so we won't stop until there's a unilateral arms embargo, cut diplomatic and economic relations with the apartheid state, and cut Zionism from this country.
Last year, there was an encampment at UW. You're a spokesperson for that. What has the atmosphere been at UW since then? And has the university taken any of your demands into consideration? Have they changed any of their ways of moving?
Well, I actually graduated, so I'm not super on campus anymore. The university is really trying to move past this and make it as a thing of the past, make it not an issue anymore, make people not aware of it or activate. Like, really what they want is for the students to stop protesting. Of course, this did not happen and won't happen. Students have always been at the forefront of social change. People look to academia for a way forward. People look at studies conducted by academics. And so students, again, have always been at the forefront of liberation struggles. But for now, again, they're just trying to suppress the protest. But the protest won't stop when they're continuing to ally and partner with an institution committing genocide against our people. We have students whose families are being bombed and starving to death and don't have internet or water. We have an occupying force. Israel is now currently annexing Gaza. They're splitting it into three. And they intend to permanently militarily occupy Gaza. This is not new. They've done this in Gaza and the West Bank for decades, and their tactic as of the past few decades is to create military buffer zones within land that's not theirs, and then they'll place settlements into the buffer zones so that any resistance against the military occupation is seen as resistance against civilians. And so it's a rhetorical way for them to quell Palestinian resistance, but in reality, I mean, they're just doing an illegal annexation. They want to ethnically cleanse them, but the students have always been at the forefront. The university is still continuing their ties, their economic and diplomatic ties with the Zionist entity, and we won't stop until Palestine is liberated.
I asked Nick Joseph what else he thought folks in Canada could do to pressure their governments to take action for peace. Here is his response.
No matter who you are, or what you do, or how busy you are, or where you come from, what language you speak, there is always something you can do for the struggle. You can always be educating yourself. Join an organization. I'm going to say this 1 million times. Organize, organize, organize. This is the only way we will achieve liberation. Qualitative change happens from within, and we have a power that they don't, which is the power of the organized masses. So no matter who you are or what you do, it's time to take a risk. It's time to make sacrifices, and we must do everything we can, put everything on the line for the people of Palestine.
That was Nick Joseph, the media liaison for the Urgent Mobilization for Gaza demonstration, which took place on May 25th in Uptown Waterloo. CKMS News reached out to the local Liberal and Conservative members of Parliament, asking for a response to the demands made by the demonstrators, but did not receive a response from any of them. We end with a couple clips of the speech Amy Smoke of the Willow River Center gave at the demonstration.
From Turtle Island to Palestine, you nation in
perspective as a First Nations person on these lands is impacted by the Palestinian ethnic cleansing of the genocide. I speak to you today from the lands of my ancestors, lands that have witnessed centuries of colonization, forced removals, and attempted erasure. As a First Nations person, I carry the stories of survival and resistance, and I offer my voice in solidarity with the people of Palestine. When we speak of Palestine, we are not just talking about occupation. We are talking about ethnic cleansing. We're talking about the deliberate displacement of a people from their homelands. We are talking about homes demolished, entire families wiped off the planet, olive groves uprooted, and families torn apart. We are talking about genocide, not only in the form of bombs and bullets, but in the slow, grinding violence of starvation, apartheid, and systemic erasure. These words are not used lightly, but they are not unfamiliar to us. As Indigenous peoples, we have lived through and continue to live through the long shadow of genocide. From the residential schools that stole our children, to the laws that sought to erase our language and spiritual practices, to the resource projects that poison our waters, colonial project has always aimed not just to take our land, but to destroy our very existence as peoples. And yet, we are still here. Our struggle is not a distant one. It is deeply connected to our own. When we see your elders facing down tanks with nothing but keffiyehs and courage, we see our own grandparents standing at the blockades. When we see children navigating checkpoints just to get to school, we remember what it means to be treated as a threat on our own land. When we hear stories of cultural survival and resistance, we feel the resonance in our own blood. We are the peoples who have endured the unendurable.
Justice is our demand!
Justice is our demand!
No peace on stolen land! No peace on stolen land!
Arms embargo now! Arms embargo now! Arms embargo now!
This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.